Welcome, time travelers, to Debtors in Time and Echoes of Chaos Adventure. I am your keeper of time, Drama VT, and joining me is James's Jams as Ryan-san, Deputy Doughboy as Tucker Ridley, and codename Sapling as Elena Haynes. The year is 4037, and paranoid ruler Dr. Thorne sends individuals indebted to him back in time, tasking them to plunder the past for valuable items in order to pay off their debts. Join our players on an epic journey as they navigate the complexities of time travel, attempting to successfully retrieve the required items and settle their debts. The stakes are high, and the consequences for their future hang in the balance. Will they emerge victorious, or will their actions reshape the course of history? All will be revealed in our adventure of Debtors in Time. The year is 4037. And humanity has been enslaved by a deranged scientist and collector, Dr. Ignatius Thorne, who rules with an iron fist over his dystopian world of Numisphera. With the advancements in technology and his insatiable appetite for historical artifacts, Thorne has devised a sinister way to control the masses. He sends people back in time, collecting objects from the past, and uses their debt as leverage. You all owe Dr. Thorne a debt, and he has called you to pay up. So Numisphera is a futuristic city, just as you would imagine in any sci-fi film. Chrome buildings, flying thingamabobs of various shapes doing various things. It's a wonderfully lush city where technology and nature collide. In the center is the Time Arena, which is where our glorious Dr. Thorne has set up his time travel device to send people back in time. And just on the outside is his magnificent museum, which is full of artifacts from the past. It is in that museum that we find Tucker Ridley. Now, Tucker, you're the keeper of all that is in this wonderful museum. There are things from every time period you could ever imagine. There are bones from T-Rexes. There are bits of spaceships from the Apollo 11. All these amazing, world-changing bits of history, and you get to look after it all. You're the curator. But as much as you would love to feel comfortable where you are amongst all of this history, you've been very nervous as of late. And you're nervous because even while you were showing some people around, giving them a tour, you misspoke about the War of Time, in which our glorious Dr. Thorne so valiantly won by kind of cheating against the rebels who wished to overthrow him. So while you're standing beneath the helm of the Titanic, you're standing there looking at it, you get a tap on your shoulder. And you turn around and you see that it is one of Dr. Thorne's security. And they're dressed in, riot gear. And he looks at you and he says, "Are you Tucker Ridley?"
I am, yes.
And he hands you an envelope. And you've seen these envelopes before. And you know what this means. And he says, "Dr. Thorne has called you to pay your debt. You have been charged with treason."
Well, one more thing to add to the museum, I guess. But, all right.
You follow the security guard out. In another part of town, way below all of the shining buildings, in somewhat squalor, we find a small hut, which is the home of Ryan's son. Ryan, You live with your mother. You live in the basement. You live in a very low income area. But that's really not your fault. This was the life imposed to you by Dr. Thorne after your father, John, was part of the rebellion that took place in the War of Time. Your debt is heavy and has affected your life years after that war has ended. You've struggled to find jobs. Your mother has struggled to find jobs, barely make enough or have enough to get by. And your mother, she comes downstairs one day and she knocks on your door and she finds you. What would you be doing on a normal day that she would find you doing?
Oh, probably playing on an old dilapidated computer of some sort. Probably on a hacked internet as close as you can get to that, because we can't afford internet because of the squalor we have to live in. And I'm probably yelling at her, not right now, because I'm in the middle of a raid.
And she'd be like, so she'd knock on the door and she'd be like, Ryan, I know I'm not really supposed to disturb you when you're playing your video games, but this is important. There's people here to see you.
They can wait.
I can't wait. And sort of the same kind of figure in the riot gear would walk past your mother and sort of just grab the back of your chair and sort of spin you around and shove the letter in your face. And will say to you, Thorn would like you to pay your debt.
And I am speechless because I've been mostly... Have I gotten previous letters of these?
No, you have not. This is the first time. You were under the impression that maybe Thorn would leave you all alone if you kept your head down. And you have been.
I'll glance over real quick and I'll be like... Almost done 1 second and I will go to turn around to finish his raid.
And the officer will grab your chair again, spin you around, grab you by the front of your shirt and pick you up and be like, Thorn wants you to pay your debt now. You're coming with us.
Guys, don't kick me for going to AFK.
In another part of town, in a large, illustrious library, Elena, you are sitting, reading some notes for an upcoming test. You're a student and you're studying really, really hard for this test that's coming up. So you're just book focused, head down. Suddenly, for some reason, you feel like there are eyes on you and you look up and there seems to be people walking past you, looking at you funny. You're kind of used to people looking at you funny for the way that you dress and for sort of who you are. You're a little bit of I wouldn't say you're a celebrity, but people do know who you are because of your debt. And your debt is the freedom to dress the way you would like to dress and also be called however you want to be called, which for a lot of people in the city is not a luxury they can have. So you're kind of used to them looking at you funny, but instead of looking at you in a bit of like a scornful or jealous or kind of disgusted manner, you're starting to find that they're looking at you with a bit more pride and hope and like just kind of like more fondly than they normally have, and that's a little bizarre for you. Would you say anything to anybody or would you sort of keep to yourself?
I would to myself.
If someone comes up beside you, it's not an officer, it's just another person, and they're like, and they'll sort of come up to you and be like, are you Elena? Like the Elena?
Oh yes, I am. How can I help you?
I just wanted to say like you're amazing. What you're doing, like the way that you're rebelling, it's so inspirational.
I appreciate your kind words. I wouldn't say I'm quite rebelling. I just simply like to dress the way I like to dress.
Oh yeah, of course. But you know, it's like how we all used to dress, you know, before the war. And you're just doing it out here in the open. And none of the guards are dragging you away. That's amazing. And as they say that, a guard in riot gear comes up and asks you, are you Alan Hayes?
It's Elena. And yes, I am.
And he dismisses it and gives you the same letter. Alan Hayes, Dr. Thorne would like you to pay your debt. You're coming with us.
I've done everything I did to keep my head down.
I am here to deliver a message before we sick the dogs on you. Come with us.
Oh, God.
Release the hounds.
Oh, fine.
And as they are sort of walking you away, you can hear the dogs going. They've obviously mauled somebody. You sort of just see the person that you were talking to kind of like wave at you and mouth, I'll get the others.
I'm just like, what others?
All of you are escorted to the Arena of Time. And you've seen it before. You've attended some of these before. The attendance by way of crowd has kind of dwindled as these have become more common occurrences. In the beginning, it used to be a massive fanfare. You know, people would come from miles around to, you know, watch these people disappear into the vortex that would take them who knows where.
Damn, do they have anything else better to do with their time?
No, they did not. But as this happened more frequently, the shine disappeared and it wasn't fun anymore, and it was kind of became a bit of dread amongst the citizens of Nimisfera, where really the only people that would come and watch you disappear with the potential of not returning were your family and the weird fanatics that just for some reason still loved watching people walk through the portal and then not come back. Who knows why? People are weird. So you guys walk like a coliseum with a round, basically Stargate looking portal at the end. So there's a big long walk, and because there's no fanfare and there's no like production like there used to be, it's just a long walk. So as you guys make your way towards the portal, do you talk to each other? Do you introduce yourselves?
Wait, are we? You said we're in handcuffs?
No, you don't have handcuffs, but if you run, the guards will shoot you.
You guys have, like, dog sick on you when they grabbed y'all?
No, they came and got me at work. It wasn't really much of a walk, I guess, for me.
I see you, m'lady. I got in my mom's basement. I don't know what I did. I don't know what's going on.
Why am I the only one who had dogs on them?
You smell good, and dogs, like, smell good stuff?
Why are you sniffing?
And I'll just look at the ground and just keep walking.
I don't know. Ma'am, you look very familiar. Have I seen you at the museum before? I feel like you would have been there at least once or twice.
Oh, yes, I love to walk around the museum, especially some of the fashion artifacts.
I thought you looked familiar.
My name is Elena.
Nice to meet you. My name is Tucker Ridley. I am the curator. Well, was. Am? I don't really know my status anymore. They, kind of just pulled me away from it, but I guess we'll see how this goes.
Seems simple enough. Just go back, grab something, and just get back out.
It's how it seems to have been for everybody else, hence why I've got some great things to show people. So, yeah, we'll see.
As you guys approach the large circle at the end of this ridiculously long coliseum, you spot a familiar figure, and this familiar figure doesn't normally come down to do these things anymore. He used to in the beginning because it was his idea. So waiting for you patiently, rocking back and forth on his heels, is Dr. Ignatius Thorne. And his face lights up when you guys walk up. Do you greet him or speak to him?
I'm just like in my head, just like, gosh, he's really clearer than I last saw.
He's not a very tall man. He's kind of actually quite short. His face is a little gaunt. He's like in his mid-40s. Salt and pepper hair, black beard, kind of like, you know, just a skinny white dude.
The man should have got a moisturizer.
Seeing as I would have, you know, been taking care of all of his more prized possessions, I imagine I would know him or recognize him a little bit better than the others. Not necessarily recognize him, but be more acquainted with him, I guess.
Do you think you would have spoken with him and, like, hadn't had a bit of a relationship?
I think so. I mean, between taking care of all of his stuff and just constantly, you know, going over all the new things that he brought in from the other wonderful adventurers that have gone out, yeah, I would definitely have a bit of a rapport with him. So I personally would have greeted him upon seeing him, not thinking anything was really wrong.
So would you like shake his hand, or what would you say to him?
Hey, Mr. Thorne, been a little while. got the new things that you added recently, put in the museum. They're all on display. The Game Boy from the early 21st century is a great addition too, by the way. So glad we got that.
And as you were speaking, you'll see his jaw tighten, and he'll take a deep breath in and be like, yes, Ridley, thank you. Very dismissively.
Oh, okay. Well,
it kind of looks a little bit like he's pained to see you there. Elena and Ryan, what about you guys?
I have a bit of a disdain for him because of what happened to my dad. Is my dad imprisoned, or did he have my dad killed? Do I even know this?
You know that your dad disappeared, presumed dead. In the retellings of the War of Time, it is said that he is dead.
Yeah, I don't have much quite to say to him.
It's more of in the context of, like, you would not have expected to see him here. Like, you would have attended a few of these occasionally out of curiosity, and less you would have seen him, and you wouldn't have seen him up close. So the fact that he's here, seeing you guys off in particular, would be unnerving, at least.
Honestly, like, I'd probably be, like, the least concerned. I was just like, oh yeah, that's the guy who, like, lets me dress like this. I know very little about politics. I just know the retellings of the war. Don't really have much of a opinion. I just care about wearing pretty things.
And you just see him looking over at you and just giving you the up down with his eyes. And you just see him sort of start to fidget with his hands, like he's very nervous. So once you guys have made it lined up, your guards all lining you up in front of him, he takes a deep breath and he goes, so I'm sure you're all wondering why I've gathered you here. I'm sure you're all wondering why I am here. You three are a special set of people who are part of some bigger things that are occurring in this city. And I don't like it when bigger things occur in this city under my nose. And the idea and the notion of how close those supposed bigger things are, it being seeming to infiltrate even to my closest circle, any gestures to Tucker, suggests that the people need to be reminded of who I am and how things are done here. However, I am not a tyrant. I am not a dictator. But I'm giving you guys an opportunity. I'm asking you to pay off your debt, as opposed to just killing you straight up for treasonous behaviors. You have one choice, really, which is just is to go through the portal and get me three items that I wish for. Now, my intel has told me various things about you, about all three of you. And so, as a gesture of kindness, I have chosen three time periods in which you will enjoy your time. And I will need you to retrieve three artifacts, one from each of those time periods. Do that. Bring it back to me and your debt will be repaid. And you will also renounce any resistances that exist in this town to defy me. Is that understood?
Crystal.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes.
Good. With you will be my right-hand man, Rouse. He'll be accompanying you through your time journey, and he will make sure that you fulfill your goals and there's no funny business. And Rouse is standing next to me. He's a bit of like a big guy. Think of like Arnold Schwarzenegger type guy. And you can tell that he's sort of had a few enhancements done to him. So he's basically a Terminator. So as he says his spiel, you start to see the portal open, and it is, like I said, like a stargate, so you can just see it start to whirl with all the stars of the galaxy, all the different colors swirling into a vortex. Ryan, do you think your mum would have come down to say goodbye to you?
Probably not.
Alana, do you think you'd have anybody that would come down to visit you or see you off?
Probably like a... college roommate of mine.
Do you have any last words to them?
Make sure no one touches my wardrobe.
And they're like, yep, yeah, absolutely, don't worry, and I'll also feed your cat.
Thank you.
Please come back. We need you. Tucker, would there be anybody for you?
Oh, I don't have anybody, so, which is why I was pretty much working for Thorn.
Would you, take in the vortex in front of you? What do you think you'd be thinking about?
This thing looks like it's gonna hurt.
And with that, the line of guards that were behind you start pushing you forward. There's no attempt of escape around them. They're just pushing you forward, making you walk forward into the swirling vortex.
Watch the dress. I'll have you know that this dress is more expensive than your paycheck.
Watch the kimono.
And with that, you guys disappear into time. But instead of flying through space, though, it's kind of just like walking through a tunnel. So as the galaxies and the time and space is wibbly-wobbly, timey-wiming around you, you start to see a light at the end of the tunnel. And as you walk through that light, you start to see fields in front of you and mountains. These fields are rice fields. So as you step out of the tunnel...
I'm already, like, looking at Ryan saying...
We're in the land of my people.
I just look at him and go, historically speaking, I don't think we are.
That museum boy, I dare you. Racist.
As you guys walk out of the tunnel, it sort of closes up behind you with Rouse behind you as the last person out. And he stands beside you and you can see that he's got a gun on his hip. And it's one of those like futuristic laser guns. He'll turn to you guys and say, all right, you are here in Japan. This is feudal Japan. He's just reading off like a clipboard. He's like, you're here in feudal Japan. It says that you need to collect the katana from the last samurai. He's about to pass through this town.
Ryan is not very stealthily trying to touch the gun.
So are the muscles like real or is that like robotic stuff?
He gives you a side eye and ignores you.
Can I hold your gun?
No, you cannot.
Tucker is just taking in everything, being like, this is amazing. Not my favorite time period, but still amazing.
This is amazing.
Rouse basically says, here, and he gives you a small device, which is a communicator. And he says, put that on your person and keep it on you at all times. It will allow you to understand the locals and have the locals understand you. For some reason, they'll sound vaguely Australian, but we haven't worked out how to fix that. And he just like gestures with his hand to go find what you need to find. Before you guys, like I said, is some rice fields and then a small village. What do you plan to do?
Oh, okay, so we need this katana.
I'm going to take a wild guess. This was your... So, you lead the way, big guy.
Now I knew why you looked familiar. You kicked me out of the museum because I kept trying to steal that period piece kimono. It was a complete set.
Yeah, I thought it was you, but I had no problem showing it to you. Heck, I would have even taken you into the back to observe it more closely. But your fingers were so greasy, you were ruining the kimono. I couldn't.
That is pretty blasphemous of you.
Thank you. It was. Now.
That wasn't a compliment.
Oh, and Ryan's son will just like... You know what? No. It was a compliment. He's going to take it as a compliment. Takes it all in stride. And, this is my place for us to be. Let's go check out this village.
I don't even know if a samurai is the last samurai.
There was... I just remember that Blu-ray. Remember what Blu-rays were? Ancient devices?
Yes, actually, I do. I don't remember it, but I know of them. Way before our time there.
Don't look for it in your collection in the museum anymore.
What?
Let's just say ending something. Anyway, so let's go. Let's go to the village. We'll meet him there. Elena, maybe you could lure the samurai into like the bathhouse sauna area and get this katana off him. Take it and run like hell.
Excuse me.
What? What's wrong? What's wrong with the plan?
I'm not giving out my body.
Well, no. Before it gets to that, it's you give off the hint of it, and then we swoop in, steal it, and run.
As long as it doesn't involve taking off my clothes.
No, we need him to take off his first.
Ryan, you haven't gotten out of the basement much, have you?
This is the first time in, like, what day is it?
I think you mean what year is it.
Either or. Anyway. Alright, let's do it. We got this. Alright. On three. Ready? Break.
So as you guys are walking through this village, it's a very, obviously, typical sort of Japanese village with a few people. You see a few people in the fields tending to the rice, and they all kind of start, they look up and they see you, and they're puzzled seeing you guys, especially a white man in a kimono. That's what they're most puzzled by. and they start to sort of follow you in to the town. As you guys walk in, they come in from the fields, and then the people in the shops start to come out and have a look to see who has arrived in their village.
Kind of hard to take a samurai's katana if everyone's staring at us like this.
Now, just for everybody's sake here, so you know, I have not turned on this translator thing that we were given. I've just seen so much anime, in my mind, I know how to speak Japanese.
You gotta be kidding me, right?
Mm-hmm. I haven't said this out loud to you, but I'm just as to set the scene as we're going in. I'm bowing to everybody because that's, I swear that's what I've seen everywhere, and I'm saying hello in a very broken Japanese.
Oh my god, he's really doing it.
Question: Do we all have one of these devices, or just him?
No, you all have them.
Okay, mine is on, and I hope I hear him just saying the most broken English and Japanese. It, nothing makes sense.
Oh yeah, mine has been on too.
The people that have noticed you, they're muttering amongst themselves. They're like, "Who are these people? Why are they here? They look like they're foreigners. Are they dangerous? Is this part of the war?" And they're just sort of not sure how to approach you.
Let's see. Have we made it to like, are we just now entering, or we made like maybe the center of the village? Or
I'd say that you've made it about the center of the village.
Everyone's looking at us really weird. And it doesn't help that you're not saying anything coherent.
Yes, I am. What are you talking about?
We can understand.
Too much Naruto I've seen? I pirated so much stuff from the past.
Did you, by chance, turn on your little, you know, translator?
No, why?
Well, we did, and nothing you're saying matches up to anything that would make sense.
Well, yours is broken. We're trying to fix it.
I think you're the one that's broken. But what's the plan here? Because clearly, we look out of place. Some more than others, but we look out of place.
Oh, maybe we should go get some clothes. You know, dress the part. I mean, I'm clearly dressed the part.
Mm-hmm.
With what money?
With what money? I don't...
The lady makes a good point.
I don't know.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little reserved about taking anything that I'm not supposed to take, because I feel like these things are kind of set to be taken in some form or fashion. I'd rather not screw up the entire timeline, but... So, how do you propose we go about doing this?
Okay, I'll handle this. So, I'm planning on going up to, I want to, go back out to the, farm area and, probably, find, just find someone who's, kind of out in the fields. And I'm going to, go up to them and explain, excuse me, you see, me and my friends here, we were trapped. We were traveling with a entertainment group, and we got separated from them, and we don't want to look so out of place while we try to look for some help. Is there any way you could lend us some clothes that you don't want anymore?
Approached a young man. He probably looks about maybe 16, and he kind of just looks up from what he's doing and is perplexed as to how he can understand you, and he says, "Oh, where are you from?"
"We're from the West."
Oh, and he steps back a bit, and he's like, okay. And then he turns to what you would assume would be his mum, and says, "They must be with the government." And so she looks to you and goes, "Oh, anything you need, I can give it to you. Well, what do you need?"
"Just some simple clothes, just to make us not look so sore, a sore thumb, if you will."
Yeah, of course. And she'll wave you back to sort of her place, which is just like one of the small houses that are lining the streets. And obviously there are people that are sort of coming up and looking in the doors and the windows. And she shuts the doors and the windows because she's guessing that you guys would want some privacy. And she says, I have my husband's clothes and some of my clothes my oldest son might be his clothes might fit you, and she points at Tucker. They're in the back. Feel free to pick from those."
"Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it."
And then sort of you go around into the room that she beckons to, and they're obviously not well off being farmers, so you would find clothing that would suggest that. Very very plain, very robust though, to sort of deal with the environment and the jobs that they have to do, so being out in the sun and the cold winters and things like that as well. What do you guys think? What are you guys putting on?
I'll just put on just one of the simple women's work clothes.
Whatever the standard, just simple, I guess, not really lounge clothing, but work clothing up at the sun. Whatever it is, it's actually quite comfortable.
Ryan, are you changing out of your kimono?
Nope.
Shocker.
I have a question. How weebish does this kimono look?
Tell me, how weebish do you think it is?
Well, it's not the kimono, it's the fedora.
So it's really the fedora that's, ruining
it. Painstakingly, I will put the fedora in the folds of my kimono, and I'll get a rice hat. One of those, the Raiden hats.
The folds of the kimono.
Or it might be the folds of my body, you don't know.
I don't think I want to know.
Fair enough.
So what does your kimono actually look like, Ryan, just out of curiosity?
So, since we were pretty poor, and I could never afford an actual one, and my efforts were thwarted at the museum to acquire one, it's actually some remnants of an old, silken blanket.
So it's a homemade kimono.
It's homemade, yes. Yes. And I've had it a while. I've worn it a lot. Yes. It's a bit ratty and greasy.
At least it's not an Akatsuki robe.
As you sort of walk out, she introduces herself as Mei Ling, and she gestures to Ryan and says, there should be some clothes back there that would fit you. If you want me to wash the one that you're wearing.
He sort of understands what he's saying, and I think he finally decides to turn on the translator.
Well, if you haven't turned it on, basically she's pointing at your kimono and rubbing her hands on her chest, dirty.
He can't admit failure in front of them. Okay, so he'll discreetly have turned it on and be nodding, and then okay, all right, this is great. So he hasn't been washed ever. So he will go behind where they have one of those dressing curtain type things. I guess that's what they have. Yeah, he'll step behind there. He'll disrobe. He'll put on the temporary kimono and bow and thank her for that.
So what are you guys doing here? We don't normally get people who look like you so far out from the major cities.
Yes, we are.
You heard the samurai was supposed to be passing through here, and I've always wanted to meet one, and so we thought we would introduce ourselves.
Oh, well, the samurai, there's a bit of a war going on at the moment. The government, the Meijing government, they're disbanding the samurai. They're no longer needed.
What?
So, the samurai that believe in their cause, they're out trying to change the government's mind. So I don't think you'll see many samurai out here at the moment.
It's just rude.
Shut up!
Why would they want to disband the samurai?
Shut up! I was just in my head, I'm just, going through, the vague, recollections I remember of, feudal Japan history, just based on, college courses I had to take.
You have your history. Ryan-san has none of that.
And I'm just, knowing, the samurai, during its disbanding, a touchy subject for some people. I'm just, elbowing, fuck up!
As you say that, her son bursts back into the house and goes, Mom, they're here. Him, it's Saigo Takamori. And for the historians in the group, Saigo Takamori is the last samurai.
Tom Cruise.
You are not meaning Tom Cruise in feudal Japan. Sorry. And she's like, he's here with the Satsuma students. And sort of as he says that, you start to hear the villagers running to the entrance of the town. So what do you do?
Ryan Son will kind of waddle and push people out of the way. And as soon as he clears the house, he will Naruto run to where they're going.
Oh my fucking lord.
I feel like that's a risk roll.
It is. It probably is.
I feel like it should be.
He's not very athletic. It's also his first time attempting it too.
Oh my god.
So because it's witnessing. People are witnessing you running like that. I'm gonna get you to do a risk roll.
As he's rolling, can I just say I look over at Elena and I'm like, I thought Thorn banned anime 20 years ago. How how does he even know this? The only reason I know what this is we have a collection of the original series. How does he know?
You had a collection.
I mean, he has mentioned that he has pirated things, so I wouldn't put that below.
That's a good point. That is a very good point.
Okay, so does anybody want to give Ryan-san a devil's bargain, just out of curiosity? What are you hoping to happen, Ryan, while you're Naruto running? Knowing that you're being watched by everyone.
I am hoping to impress the locals.
Is the intention for them to maybe possibly think that you're a samurai?
Yes.
Right. Roll your dice and tell me what you got.
So it's just one light, one dark then? That's a failure on the light die. It's a 3. It was a 2 on the dark die.
Oh, and you don't want to reroll. You're right. You're okay, right? Because if you want to reroll, you just have to add another dark die.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's reroll. Yeah. Well, welcome to Vegas, baby. That's a partial success, but on a dark die. It was a tie, because if the dark die is tied to the light die, the dark die still wins, right?
Your dark die was a 5. All right, so you caused the first ripple.
What then? I will shoot you.
Oh man, the Japanese are going to adopt the Naruto run.
No, shut up.
Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, you succeed. The people around you are surprised at how fast a man of your size can run in that style. However, the Naruto run is a very much a leaning forward kind of action. So you're leaning forward and running with your arms behind your back. As you are running, your top heaviness takes advantage and you fall forward, tripping over your own feet, and sort of sliding at the feet of the incoming group. Everyone else is really impressed, though.
I still beat everybody, though.
Everyone's like really impressed. Yeah, they're really impressed because you got there first, you even beat the small children who are lightning fast. So. They're very impressed, but yes, you have landed face first.
Just narrowly missing crushing one of the small children. Elena, you want to go meet up with him? I mean, I feel like we're the odd ones out now, just standing back here.
Yes, give me one second. I just like kind of, I kind of grab the clothes I was previously wearing and putting in like a little duffel bag. I'm just like, I'm these babies behind.
Not a bad idea.
And then, of course, I thank the family once again. And I tell them that I will not forget their kindness.
They nod and they smile and you know, because they're still not sure of you. But they're appreciative of your politeness back to them.
Yeah, all right, we can go now.
Okay, so you guys come out. Ryan-san's face first into the ground at the feet of Saigo. And he looks down at Ryan.
Oh, boy.
Looks at the crowd and goes, who is this?
I am I'm Ryan-san, and... I shakily get up off the ground and give him a bow.
And one of the villagers sort of goes, is he not one of yours, not one of your samurai? He's dressed the part, and he ran so fast with such speed.
I wish to become one, like you.
You wish to become a samurai?
Yes.
Have you not heard? The government is outlawing samurai, and you still want to become one?
Garbage government. Who are they to tell us no?
Okay. Can you fight?
Can I fight? Yeah.
You look like someone who could, how would you say, fight your way to the best cut of meat, but can you fight?
Didn't you see him? He messed up that ground real good.
He does look down at the hole, the crater that you left. We are marching to Tokyo to discuss with the government about their incorrect decision to disband the samurai. So if you are for our cause, we'll happily have you.
I'll get my own sword.
Debtors in Time uses the Echoes of Chaos system, created by Tom McGee. You can find him on Twitter at McGeeTD. If you enjoyed our story thus far, feel free to follow us on Spotify. If you would like to listen to our other campaigns, find them all on our card at coolkidsclub.card.co. That's coolkids, C-O-O-L-C-I-D-S-C-L-U-B www.card.co. You can find myself on Twitter at HackingDrama. You can find James's Jams at James's Jams. Deputy Doughboy at Boy Deputy, B-O-I Deputy. And Sapling at Codename Sapling. Don't forget, your debt is due. We'll see you next time for the next installment of Debtors in Time. Debtors in Time uses the Echoes of Chaos system, created by Tom McGee. You can find him on Twitter at McGeeTD. If you enjoyed our story thus far, feel free to follow us on Spotify. If you would like to listen to our other campaigns, find them all on our card at coolkidsclub.card.co. That's coolkids, CoolCidsClub. card.co. You can find myself on Twitter at HackingDrama. You can find James's Jams at James's Jams. Deputy Doughboy at Boy Deputy, B-O-I Deputy. And Sapling at Codename Sapling. Don't forget, your debt is due. We'll see you next time for the next installment of Debtors in Time.